Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time to talk baseball and everything sports. It's Live with Mike Shannon. Sponsored by Goodwill. Give hope. Give local. Give Goodwill. Now, Mike Shannon and Mike Claiborne.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Live with Mike. We're here at the ballpark along with Mike Shannon. I'm Mike Claiborne, and we have the Hall of Fame manager, Tony La Russa, who was in town tonight for the game and maybe doing some advanced scouting for the World Series, I would imagine.
Well, I actually had the iPad, and I watched the Red Sox come back from 5-1, and we didn't win 10, but I had total concentration on this game. Actually, my goal and my wish was for Albert to get four hits and the Cardinals win.
Yeah, nothing changes to you. Yeah, exactly. I like that concept. And what went through your mind when you heard the ovation the first time, the second time, the third time?
Well, if your heart's beating and you care, you're going to get emotional. I'd like to talk to Albert because I know he was into it, talked to him before. But, I mean, I got choked up. You know, mm-hmm. I thought the fans responded beautifully. And, you know, and if he'd have been more egotistical, he'd have milked it, but he didn't. Then he wanted to get the game going because that's the way he is. But other fans responded. And I really love the Albert. That really got me going.
And Tony, what do you remember about the spring training that first year with him?
Well, I remember getting into spring training, Mike. I think that's an important part of the story. The year he was drafted, we had winter meetings, organizational meetings down there during instructional league. And so you meet in the mornings, and typically the guys that run the instruction league will come in during lunch and say, look, after you're going to come watch a game, and these are two or three guys that we like so far. And Albert was one of them. So I know we just sat there with our coaches and our other, you know, minor league staff, watched. He played third base. He was kind of, you know, chunky, you know, but he had nice little hands. And the plate, he stood there, you know, just still looked like a hitter, that's all. And then I remember he goes to Peoria, and that's where we really found out, because Chris Duncan was playing there. So Dave was staying in touch, and, hey, you guys are doing good. He said, hey, Chris, you're doing all right. He said, yeah, I'm doing all right, but, you know, there's a catcher. It's really good. And this young guy, Pujols, you ought to see him hit. I'm not sure I belong in the same league with him. That was Chris. So then he goes out in 2000, you know, at the end of the season. He went to AAA because we brought guys up, and he helped Galen Pitts and the Memphis club win. So when he comes to spring training, we knew he was a real prospect.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the spring training.
Well, I had to get the fans caught up.
I got you. Okay.
You two miss each other so much these days, I can tell.
But there's one I didn't see him. You know, that was your responsibility, seeing him down there in the spring.
But then I went down to the fall league and saw him.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And now I see a guy who's understands about nutrition and exercising, and he definitely trimmed out, and he's looking like it's going to be a quick mover. But our plan here was a bright prospect. They were going to jump really from A ball to AAA. He was going to get a nice couple of games early and try to have him leave with a good taste in his mouth, and he was the best player in camp.
Yeah, I remember you tried him everywhere. You tried him at third base, left field, right field, first base, third base. And it seemed like you were testing him every time, and he just answered every test there was.
Well, a couple of things there, Mike. That's why it's so important to give player development credit. In that spring, along with our games that early in the part of spring, it was Galen Pitts, the AAA manager.
One of the best baseball men in this
really
organization's
great man.
Ever
you know,
had.
Raised in the Cardinals, you know. George, Red, all those guys, Ricketts, all those guys have been teaching for years. So the couple of things about it was that he said early in the, he was playing, Albert was playing third base because our third baseman was a little sore. And then he started to come back, and we worried, where was the at-bats going to come? I said, well, you know, not going to be too many at-bats because maybe two at-bats at the end of the game. And he pulled me aside. He said, Tony, last year at AAA, I played him in left field. He said, he looks like he might have trouble, but he gets great jumps and really had good range. So I said, you know, our ballpark in Jupiter, that wind blows to left field. That's a hard ballpark to play left field in. I said, oh, hell, I'll ride him in left field. And sure enough, there's a ball in the gap, and I look over, he's got the jump, he catches it, ball down the left field line, he gets it. So that showed us that he could play all over.
And every day I was telling you, this guy's a gold glove first baseman.
That's right. Yeah.
But you needed him to play and get some at-bats.
Yeah, the most important part there was giving as many at-bats before he sent him out. And it was, I would say, in the middle of the spring when he kept raking against everybody that we said, hey, we got to get a little harder look at this guy. And there was one wonderful example. You know, like most managers, if a guy's having a really good spring and he's a young guy, you don't want to have him leave the camp getting embarrassed by some big-time pitcher. So we had Javier Vasquez pitching against us from Montreal, who's a finette, you know, four-pitch pitcher, good, real good pitcher. I hit Albert fourth. And all the coaches came in there, hey, man, you trying to show him off? I says, no, we got to prove something here because Walt's saying the only way to keep him is you have to have at-bats for him. So the first time up, I kid you not, he throws that nasty slider, he swings and misses. And I go, I got him. Next time up, he throws that same slider, he hits it one hop off the right center field wall. And then the coach all said, he got you. And that's the way it was. He just was so good.
I remember watching him. Every time you tried him somewhere, he would not only good defensively, offensively, it never bothered him at all. He just went out and he was raking, like you say.
The other thing that you learn a lot, I mean, this is true, but as you get more experience, but especially the young guys, if you get off to a good start, you know, then you start walking around like maybe I'm special. Mm-hmm. You start not crossing every T dot, and you start looking in the mirror too much, you know. Not Albert. Every day he came out, he had the eye of the tiger, and what's the plan? What's the program? And he was digging in, going to work.
I want to, you know, you got two guys sitting over here with us, Walt Jocketty and Barry Weinberg. General manager, trainer, what was their contribution? Because they saw the same things you were seeing, and I can tell
you what Walt's contribution was hiring Tony.
Yeah, well, you're right. But when it came to Albert, I'm interested to hear, you know, because he, you could tell he was a little different than the rest of the crowd. Yeah. What were they saying to you as well?
Well, I think Walt prefers to be called the general manager.
Yeah. Good enough for me. Good enough
He's
for me.
He's going to come here and slap the heck out of me.
He's on the phone, so yeah. He won't be listening
think
to this
Think about Walt. You know, Walt is he was raised in a Roland Heeman school where you're respectful to everybody. Everybody's important. He's a really good guy, but he's got some steel in him. And if you cross him, he'll
Church get bells.
Yeah, he told me no – heatedly several times. So he was very, very he knew we had a chance to have a good club. We just come off the 2000 season. And he knew the guy was very special. So he just put it down there where he balanced player development in the big league club. And he says, you cannot take this guy as a bench player. He's got to be able to have at-bats. So I thought, you know, it's the whole time. I don't think Walt gets enough credit. You think about the deals he made at the trading deadline. I mean, he pulled off amazing players and didn't give up a lot. Barry, on the other hand, I think was always very important in the health and welfare of our ball players. Understood nutrition.
Had a real finger on the pulse.
I mean, he's, you know, really sharp. Not just the training part where you have injuries and keeping you healthy, but also, you know, what's a good diet? You know, how much rest you could get. I think I just said that the way they wrote it too.
Think you couldn't have said it any better if they were sitting at the microphone themselves. Let's take our first break. The Hall of Fame manager, Tony La Russa, is with us. He's Mike Shannon. I'm Mike Claiborne. We're live with Mike here at the ballpark on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Hi, Mike Shannon here. How would you like to cheer for the Cardinals this summer? Goodwill would like to help you with that by offering you half-price tickets. That's right, half-price tickets. All you have to do is donate to your local Goodwill and you'll receive a voucher for half-price tickets. That's a win-win for you and my friends at Goodwill. Find your local Goodwill at mersgoodwill.org. Give hope, give local, give Goodwill.
Some restrictions apply.
Looking to provide a once-in-a-lifetime experience for your team? I'm Julia Rowe with Cardinals Special Events. We like to say the Busch Stadium is a place where memories are made both on and off the field. Our special events team can help set the stage for your unique event in one of Busch Stadium's exclusive venues, including the field or one of the many clubs throughout the ballpark. Find out more at cardinals.com/events.
For 120 years, we've had the great honor to be the hometown of the St. Louis Cardinals, a baseball team dedicated to our Midwest values of hard work, commitment, and excellence. The Cardinals have given us Gibby, Stan, Carp, Waino, and Yachty, and 11 world championships. I'm Terry Crouppen from Brown & Crouppen, and once again, we're proud to be partners with our hometown world champion, St. Louis Cardinals. Go Cards!
This is Miles Michaelis. When I'm not pitching, I like to play a little golf. And on Saturday, July 13th, when we play the Diamondbacks, I'm taking home the Cardinals golf umbrella. And you can too. 30,000 fans, 16 and older, will take home a Cardinals umbrella presented by St. Louis Children's Hospital, Guardians of Childhood. Get your tickets at cardinals.com/promotions. Cardinals baseball, time to fly.
At Fabicat, we know that hard work coupled with the right tools and right people is how success is built. That's why we make it a priority to provide the best equipment and service to our customers so together we can build a better world. As your local Caterpillar dealer, we strive to ever serve our customers better. This is our motto. It always has been. It always will be. Because without you, we wouldn't exist. So together, let's do the work. Learn more at Fabicat.com. Fabicat, proud partner of the St. Louis Cardinals.
There's nothing like the crack of a bat to bring a sense of excitement and possibility. Kind of like the views from the top of the Gateway Arch. Get in and be moved 630 feet up. With the world at your feet, you can't help but believe that everything is possible, including a 12th World Championship. The Gateway Arch. See differently. The views are timeless. The experience, all new. The reimagined Gateway Arch grounds and museum are now open. Get your tickets at gatewayarch.com.
When my hair gets all long and scraggly, I don't feel sure of myself. It's like I'm just a little, you know, off. But after a haircut at Great Clips, I'm...
me again. My 5 o'clock shadow arrives at 3:06. I can do that Elvis thing with my lower lip. And I can predict the future. In 1 second, some announcer guy will speak.
Get in, out, and back to greatness. Download the Great Clips online check-in app. Great Clips. It's going to be great.
Hey Cardinal fans, it's Hannibal, Missouri's Bicentennial, and you do not want to miss the fun. For family fun, explore the Mark Twain Cave and cruise the mighty Mississippi aboard the Mark Twain Riverboat. Come back with friends and match wits with Hannibal's newest attraction, Mississippi Mine Trap Escape Room. Plan a trip to fit your lifestyle at visithannibal.com. Whether it's relaxation, attractions, festivals, or outdoor fun, Hannibal in 2019 has your perfect vacation. Plan your trip today at visithannibal.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We continue. We're live at the ballpark with Mike Shannon and Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa. We're having a good time here. So now you have him on the ball club because, as he mentioned earlier today, there were some players who came to you and said, yeah, hey,
that's right,
we need to take this guy with us.
Yeah.
How did that conversation go? Because there were some guys who you respected as players,
yeah,
and you listened to them, and they come to you and say, hey, Skip, we need this guy.
Well, like I said, you know, we were coming off that 2,000 years, so – we thought we had a chance, again, to win the division, get into the playoffs. So we had a real good core of veterans. And you're always looking for young guys that mm-hmm. keep you excited. And they, you know, the coaches were in love with Albert because they watched the work on a detail by detail, whether it was base running, defense, offense. But the players, see, he was in their group. That's one thing we did. We would always put a young guy with the veterans in some of the groups so they could see how they worked. And they come back and say, man, this guy not only works, but, I mean, he's got some talent. So that was identified early in the drills. But, you know, you make a point sometimes you can tell a story, just it brings it to life. We were playing him a lot. So we go to Orlando to play the Braves, and he's got to get a day off. So we take him on the trip just to have protection. because I was going to play McGuire and then play somebody else at first base when I took McGuire out, but Albert was going to rest. So we look over there, and the hour of batting practice, he's taking an hour of ground balls at shortstop, just sweating. I go to him, I say, he said, Evie, no, I come to work every day. I'll be ready if you need me. I said, well, I'm not going to need you, man. Just be ready to take that bus trip home. Well, you can't make
this. Don't miss the bus, right?
Don't be last.
You can't make this stuff up. We're down by a run. Pinch hit Albert. Now, in the meantime, I had taken McGuire and the regulars out of the game. So they were standing behind me because if we make three outs, they're going to rush and we're going to get the bus and leave. And Albert goes to bat. Look, they're standing behind me. I've been Edmonds there. I know McGuire's direct. I can feel it. Albert hits the ball over the scoreboard to tie it. Next thing I feel is, wham! Gives me a forearm shiver right in the back. Just knocked my wind out of me. I told you. We told you. He's got to make this team. I told you. Did I tell you? Mark, I got him. Give me. That's the way it was. Albert just generated excitement, and he did it the right way. It wasn't on clippings and advance expectations. He earned it day in and day out.
How many times, and you managed
Does
for
Mike
a long
get a chance
time.
To ask a question?
He's going. Yeah, he's get the next one because I got this one while it's fresh on my mind. All the years you've managed, how many times did players come to you about a player and say, we need this guy?
I would say that young a player, a position player, I don't think ever that young. I mean, this guy played A-ball the year before. Mm-hmm. I say for a pitcher, a good memory is Ankiel during the spring of 2000. Yeah. And we were looking and we thought, man, and he was just mowing him down. And we had Hankin and we had just gotten Kyle. And we asked one other really good veteran. And they said, hey, and, you know, first of all, they tell Dunk, and Dunk tells, when he tells me, I just believe him. But I know the point is it's very, very rare. Because most of the time, players don't see, you know, they have their drills, and they spend spring training. They leave early. They don't see all the work. But Albert was so impressive every minute of every drill that he got everybody's attention.
Let's go to the World Series now. What do you remember about the two World Series that you won here?
Well, I have a lot to think about there because if you remember during our time that I was here, we'd go to that championship series and lose. Finally, 2004, you know, we won a great game 7 here against Clemens, and we go to the World Series, get B4. So finally, we go to 2006 with 83 wins.
Last day of the season.
The last day of the season. But what I remember about that ball club was that they knew when we were healthy that we were not an 83-win team because you remember Roland Renteria, Roland Eckstein, Albert, and Edmonds all got hurt there late. Also, we started postseason, they were all there. The other thing we had done was that we had Karp to start, which we didn't have him in. Remember, he got hurt in September of 2004. And then we brought, you know, Walt made the move for Jeff Weaver. And we had this great pitching coach that saw, you know, right-handers don't like to hit against him because of the turbo sinker and the slider. But left-handers feasted on. So Dave said, don't you have something else? Yeah, I got a curveball. So he taught him a curveball. So I said, wait a minute now. We've got that plus the Supon. So our club went in there. And I in the meeting, I said, yeah, I had a crystal ball. We won 83 games. And we're going to start everything on the road. I said, the only thing I said was, there isn't one club that we're going to play is going to look forward to playing against us because they know what we're potentially capable of.
How about that pickoff play out in San Diego?
Diego.
You remember that?
I remember. Yeah.
That was really something. Now you talk about a shot in the arm, and you talk about momentum in a game and in a season. Now, you know, you can get all the sabermetrics you want to get, but the plays are like that. That instills the championship into teams.
Well, I think it's the immediacy of the importance of the play. But there's something else that when it's over and players are sitting around and they're serious about winning and the staff's sitting around spending, you think about this young catcher that has the guts to pull that throw off. Because that ball, if he don't pinpoint it in the first baseman, that ball's in the corner.
And the first baseman was?
Albert Pujols.
Thank you.
And they did it about 25 times in the time they were together. Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, when you think about it, it was huge for the moment. But you think, hey, this is that guy behind the plate. Here's another one that I think is funny. Can I get about Yadi now for a minute? 2004, he caught game four.
And he and Manny.
That's the point. First three, Mike Matheny, who was a very good, outstanding player for us. So I'm going to catch Yadi. The third inning, all of a sudden he stands up and he's talking to Manny Ramirez.
Yeah.
And I tell Dunk, I said, what's going on? He says, I don't know, but he's pointing at him. He's saying something serious. And what he was saying was, you tell David Ortiz he keeps tipping location, somebody's going to get hurt, and it's going to be you. Now, this is a rookie catcher.
I remember.
Telling him, and Manny Ramirez, oh, no, we're not. He says, hey, I know that game. So we find out later he comes. He says, what are you doing? He says, well, he's tipping pitches. So this guy stands up and confronts him. This is Yadi Molina, just a baby against Ramirez. So you put all that together, and our club knew that the catcher, and he's still here, by the way, is doing, I mean, like that. How about that caught stealing either today?
I mean, difference maker.
We knew he had him, and you start putting the ingredients together. Had the first baseman who you knew in the clutch. I'll tell you one more quick one. I just found this out. Remember when Albert hit the 3-run homer against Peavy in that first game?
Yeah.
And Piazza made the error on the pop-up? I heard, and it's proven, that the ball hit the screen, and that's why he missed it. There was no replay, and they didn't see it. The next pitch, he had a 3-run homer. I've been told that ball really hit the screen, so really it wasn't Piazza's fault.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Tony La Russa, the Hall of Fame manager, is here along with Mike Shannon. We're live with Mike, and we want to go back to that game, that series, because there was another play that I thought was a difference maker. Thank you very much. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. We're live with Mike on the Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. We continue with Live with Mike. We're here at the ballpark, and, of course, it's brought to you by Goodwill.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me anything you want.
How come it's not Live with Mike's plural? There's two mics here.
Well, whichever one they like, it's Mike.
We got a Tony here, too, and
yeah,
we don't want them.
We got microphones like mics.
It's like, you know, when in New York, it said, to New York, Tony.
This is brought to you by Goodwill. Give hope, give local, give Goodwill. We want to make sure that they are recognizing what we do. First game of that series, and here come the Padres. Now, they're a good team. And you have a guy, Ronnie Belliard, who I don't want to call him the father of the shift, but, you know, he played a little deeper on that particular play. It was Adrian Gonzalez, if I'm not mistaken. And Adrian Gonzalez hit a scorcher.
Tyler Johnson.
Yeah. And he makes the play. We end the inning. And John Rooney looked at me and he said, that might be the difference on why we go to the World Series.
John Rooney said that?
John Rooney said that.
He should be
here is what you're saying.
He should be in Vegas.
But he looked at me and looked at me and he said, that might be the reason on why we go to the World Series.
That's a very heady play. And the thing about Belliard, very smart player. If you remember when was the game that he did a little push bunt for a squeeze? I didn't put the sign on. He did it on his own. He did that on his own. He's very smart. Now, that man was acquired by the general manager.
You know, Mr. Wall Jockey. You've had a number of players, though, that didn't have much talent but were really gutsy little players, and he was one of them. But you had
throwing
some other
Eckstein
guys, too.
Eckstein's another guy like that.
When you had Eckstein, I used to go over to the opposing manager, and I'd say, hey, you know, you got McGuire and everybody over there. He said, no, I said, that's a little shortstop's the guy that beats us all the time. And he was. You talk about a guy that got more out of his talent than I think anyone else would. He was one of them.
Well, he's the example. You know, a lot of times every year I would talk to the minor league. I just did it. And when I went down into the Red Sox minor leagues, I have a chance to talk to the guys. I said, you know what you look for? Everybody that signs a contract has talent. Now, how many of you guys are going to work and compete to where you take the talent into skills? And the guys that do that are really mentally and physically tough. And I said, there's a David Eckstein that if you have a 13-year-old kid, he throws the ball farther than he does harder. He runs faster, hits the ball farther. This guy's got two World Series rings because he's such a tough competitor. You know, his lifetime average is about 270, 280 because he stuck his nose in, he had no fear, and he had used the whole field. That's why I say I really
he
believe.
He could pull the ball too, man. If you tried him inside,
you make a mistake.
He had a grand slam homer for you.
That's right.
That's why, you know. And a serious point about that is, in the day's baseball, when there's a little too much attention to talent and potential, you got to look at who's productive. And the reason guys are productive is that they get their minds in the right place. So if you get a talented guy like an Albert or an Edmonds, they become a star. But if you get another guy that's got adequate talent, his mind is strong, then they elevate themselves into where they're productive big leaguers.
Let's go to a managers now. You have yourself. You have a guy that you admired very much, who also won World Series in each league, and that was the Cincinnati. What's that?
Sparky.
Yeah, Sparky. Okay, and guys that didn't succeed that much in the big leagues, but turned out to be Hall of Fame managers.
Well, I think that's why I've seen guys like Sparky, Gene Mauk, Earl Weaver. You know, Whitey was a pretty good player. He wasn't a great player. He was a good player. And I've heard this, you know, if you're a lousy player, you got a chance to be a good manager.
Yeah.
I believe the correct definition is if you love the game when you played it and you want to learn it and you decide to learn it, you can be a very good manager because Don Baylor is a very good manager. Don Baylor was a very good player. Dusty Baker was a very good player. He's a very good manager. So it isn't so much – sometimes if you're bad like I was – you had to learn to survive. Mm-hmm. But if the good guys, if they love the game, if they learn it, you can be a star and a good manager or a below average player.
But let me ask you this, because that's a great point you make. At what point when you were a player and you're in the dugout and you said to yourself, I need to start paying more attention to this game because somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder and say to you, this may not work for you, but you should stay in the game. So who was the person that you first gravitated to say, I'm going to try and draw something from him?
Well, unfortunately, as a young player, you know, I signed when I was 17. So my fourth or fifth year, I'm like 22 or 3. I made the 1971 Oakland A's team. Dick Williams was a manager.
That's a good start.
Really good manager.
Yeah. Oh, God, he taught me so much. Really good. And he liked the way I went about it because as a player, I was taught to try to win. And you want to win, you learn if you run the bases properly, you score runs. If you play defense, you know, so it really, if you pay attention, you care. Well, Dick had to trade me in mid of August of 71. So the year they won the division, but they lost to go to the World Series. And they won the World Series the next 3 years. I wasn't there. And when he said, hey, we need Mudcat Grant, take your spot. We need another pitcher. Mm-hmm. And I asked Charlie about it because I want to keep you around because the guys like you and want to make you a coach. I went, what? Coach? I said, hey, Dick, I'm 24 years old, man.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, but that's what I asked you. I said, what are you saying? I said, no, I'm just saying I'd like to have you around. You know, I said, Dick, I got some future left. He says, okay. He was right and I was wrong.
Well, yeah, but you can't tell a kid who's 24 years old and say, look, at you need to look for another job. You can't grab the heart out of you.
Well, our friend George Kissel said, now, if you think about it, that was 71.
Okay.
So I played, you know, AAA for a while.
But and George was had a lot of more diplomacy, okay, and was a great educator. There's a big difference.
Okay, I want you to check his diplomacy. So – that's 71. 72, I'm with the Braves, you know, I go to AAA. 73, with the Cubs, make the club, but then I go to AAA. 74, I'm with the Pirates, go to AAA. Now they made me a player coach, 75 and 76. Now the reason I'm staying in baseball is to finish my law degree, pay for my law degree. 77, I come to the St. Louis Cardinal, my last year in uniform, and George comes up. And he says, I'm a player coach at AAA. About the middle of it, he comes by to visit the clubs. I said, George, you know, I'm really enjoying this coaching. And Lance had cancer, so I managed for about 2 weeks. And I really, my wife and I decided, you know, I'm going to graduate from law school. We don't have kids. Maybe I'd like to try to manage. He says, well, I would have told you to start managing years ago when I watched you play. He's real tactful.
That's your wife, right?
No, that was George. That's how tactful, diplomatic George was.
You know,
but he was a great teacher.
Yeah, great teacher.
Maybe the greatest teacher I've ever come across. Anyway, and I don't care what industry it is.
Okay, I can get going on this with examples. George, well, I don't want to disrespect any other organizations. Got great coaches. They're, you know, and there's some old timers that have been around a long time. But our George, it starts with his intelligence and his desire to learn. He learned. He had so much knowledge inside him. I'm going to give you a Belichick example in a minute. he has so much knowledge inside of him. And then when he knew that he had a way to or had to improve a pitcher or a player, he took that knowledge and he was so creative. He came up with drills that Okendo would show me. I didn't know they existed. I had already played a bunch of years. So George took all that knowledge and he was very creative about how to improve, you know, the switch hitters he's going to make or how to make a I think the combination of his smartness and his background education and his willingness to work through and come up with something unique, that's George Kisel. Belichick just had a great postseason as a defensive coach.
Yeah, he took
those
that
teams.
Thing over.
Well,
right.
if you know about him, he's, at 6 years old, he started learning from his dad.
Some of those
defenses, when he describes them, he learned them 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 15 years ago. It's like George. You take all that knowledge, you put it in here, and all of a sudden, hey, use it today.
I'll tell you what, though, as a teacher, he was getting. You know, I heard him one time. They said, this guy needs to do this and he needs to do that. Let's go to him and do it. He said, no, he's not ready yet. I mean, he knew that the guy was not susceptible to take that
there
advice.
There was going to
okay?
be a play that he was going to get exposed. You know? You're right.
Well, there's an old coach.
You know, he got it over to you that you should be a manager, right? You figured it out in a hurry.
Let's take another break here. The manager, Tony La Russa, is here. Mike Shannon is here. We're live at the ballpark. We'll be back with more on the Cardinals Radio Network. We continue with the Hall of Fame manager, Tony La Russa, along
with
Mike Shannon. Live with Mike's.
Live with Mike.
Right, just we're going to change it just because of you. We're going to change it just because of you.
Well, I understand there's two Mikes, but
right, well, it's
anyway,
really
we'll
three,
explain
but,
it to you later. Hey, now, let me tell you, there's two guys from the Red Sox organization that I came across. Well, there's three of them, really. One of them was Bobby Doerr. Yeah, who was the hitting coach for the minor leagues, and I played for Pesky out in Seattle, and it was Johnny Pesky. I didn't realize that I talked to Al Kaline. He said when he came out of high school and they put him on the big league club that they really despised him, the players. He said the only guy that helped him was Johnny Pesky. I didn't even realize that Johnny Pesky played for the Tigers.
Yeah, no, he was a very good player. Well, you know, when I was 18 years old and I had to be protected, I had the same thing. You know, I go to
yeah,
a big
I'm sure
club.
They thought you were going to take somebody's
and you're
job.
Like this. I mean, I was taking a big league spot. They should despise me. I was there because of the bonus rule. There was two guys that you know, and one of them lives here in Missouri, Jerry Lumpy and Norm Seaburn.
Yeah.
A couple of great pros we're going to help you along.
Took you in.
Charlie Lau was a backup catcher there. And Terry Francona's father, Tito. Those four guys went out of their way to say, we know it's not your fault, you know, and we'll make sure that you go to the right places. They took it. But
what year was that?
1963.
So that was a little later than when the K-Line came along, right?
Oh, yeah. The Lion. We call him the Lion.
You know, that's an incredible thing about the game where, and I don't know if it happens as much, where the veterans would look at a guy and realize, okay, he's here for a reason. We need to make sure we can take care of him until he can figure it out. And I don't know if that happens as much anymore. You were blessed to have good players that did that. And Albert talked a lot about that today with regard to the guys in the organization that were there for him.
Okay, that's a very good point, Mike, because that is a very important tradition in our sport. Actually, it happens in football too, basketball, hockey. In our sport, it's a very important tradition. So, if it doesn't exist, then somebody's missing the boat.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist because they don't understand the priority. Because if you establish that around here, your kids are young players, you don't come in there and like you own this clubhouse till you earn the spot in the clubhouse. And these veterans are going to help you. So the whole time that I manage, like we come into St. Louis, you take Matt Morris, you take Alan Bennis, you take all those kids that come up. I know they were raised in the Cardinal organization, but they were respectful of the veterans. And then you have a veteran who says, okay, I'm going to remember the guys that – I tell you, one of the best ones I can remember in our generation, Don Baylor talked about coming to the big leagues as a rookie. Oh. And in Baltimore, those veterans took him around, and by the time he had 4 or 5 years, now he had to figure what was Don Baylor at the end of his career, one of the great mentors.
Great mentors of the game,
yeah.
You know, Mike talks about this. Mike, you tell the story about when you first broke in and all the experience that was in the Cardinal organization when you showed up.
Well, I was really fortunate, you know, because when I came to the big leagues, we had Musio, we had Kurt Simmons, we had Bobby Shantz, we had Dick Crow, Kenny Boyer.
Bob Skinner was there.
I mean, Skinner. You know, when I went from the outfield to play third base, I went to Skinner. I said, hey, I need to talk to somebody to know how to play third base. He said, what are you talking about? I said, who's the best guy you know? He said, Don Hoke.
Bobby, yeah.
And so Hoke was with Philadelphia at the time. I said, will you call him and ask him? I tell him I want to talk to him. He said, yeah. So he came out during batting practice, and behind half an hour behind home plate, I learned more about playing third base from him than it would have taken me 2 years to learn if I'd have just had to play it over there and learn myself.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always good for our fans to hear our examples. Adam Wainwright shows up as a kid, and he's got Matt Morris, he's got Darryl Kyle, he's got Chris Carpenter, and you fast forward it to now, who's been the leader of this staff for the last few years?
Yeah.
It's Adam Wainwright. And he's taking all these great young pitchers they got, and 3 or 4 years from now, they'll be, you know, I mean, it's a beautiful situation. That's why teams that don't understand it are really missing an important. So let's not
those
give
are the
them
ones
a
that don't win.
Yeah, yeah, so let's not talk. Let's make sure anybody in the National League Central, if they don't know it, don't learn it.
Well, I'll give you an example. Lou Burdette came over here, and I got to room with him, okay?
And, that must have been some room.
Spine was
neither
pitching.
One of them were in it most of the time. That's
Spine was
issue.
Pitching the next day, and he said to me, he said, hey, Rumi, he said, you want to get some hits tomorrow? I said, yeah. He said, well, you have to do what I tell you. I said, I'll do it. He said, you can't swing until it's 3-2. I said, oh, hell, I can't do that. and I got two hits off of Spahn. So the next day, Spahn comes out. He said, hey, rookie, come here. I want to talk to you. He said, hey, you've been talking to my roommate, huh?
See, now, we were together 16 years, and I probably know 1,000 Mike Shannon stories. I never heard that
first one.
That's a good one.
That's the truth.
I want to ask you about our manager, who Mike Shildt, who Mike and I have gotten to know. We remember him when he first started working with you in the minors. And I talk to him every day. And I'm fascinated each day when I talk to him about his demeanor, his approach. A lot of Tony-isms in him. What did you see in him? Because you have been a mentor to him. You've been a guy that has given him guidance in a lot of different respect. But what did you see in him in the early stages of his career?
Well, it's the same principle we're talking about, but it applies to managers. When I got it into the big leagues, I talked to all the veteran managers, and they gave me stuff to help me survive and thrive.
Mm-hmm.
So when Mike first joined the organization, we didn't know him. He joined at the lowest level.
No, you mean he joined you in the big league level?
No, and he joined the minor league in player development.
Oh, okay.
You know, and you look at his credential, he didn't have credential, didn't play.
He didn't, yeah.
He came out of college. But here's what he did right away. He paid attention, and he soaked up everything like a sponge. Now, you know we had great coaching staff. So he go to Dave Duncan. He go to Marty Mason. He'd go to Dave McKay about base running outfield play. He'd go to Jose Oquendo or Joe Pettini. And he'd talk to me about organizing strategies. So, you know, you can tell when a guy's sincere, when somebody's trying to just make a – because he was there every day paying attention and asked the right questions. So, first of all, when you have somebody that has that knowledge and, you know, or wants that knowledge, then he's going to have an important place in the organization. He may just be a teacher. Well, when he had his first chance to manage in rookie ball – every place he managed, they won, and then, you know, and the word starts coming back. He has his own way of connecting with players.
Well, now, how do you take that in this modern day and age?
That's
no. a good question, huh?
Well, you're damn right, it's a good question, because
how are you going to imply that, especially to the guys up here with the sabermetrics? And, well, and they have all the stats, and they're here every day, Tony.
Okay. Here's my answer. It's a common sense answer, right? When you manage, and let's just take managing the big leagues. Managing the big leagues is very difficult today because the players are, they get so distracted by fame and fortune, and you're trying to get them to play a team sport, right? So the way that sometimes, you know, you present it and you try to persuade, but sometimes you need to impose, hey, this is how we do it here, right? Well, earning respect and trust is critical. All right. respect and trust goes to the decision maker. If the players know the decisions are being made upstairs, they send the lineup down. They set the rotation. They tell you when you're going to make your moves with the bullpen. They tell you what when you can't bunt. You can't do this. The players know that all you're doing is just taking a script and you're applying it.
You're the messenger.
And the respect goes upstairs. So you know what that does to you in this leadership role? It makes you less effective. First of all, now think about it. It makes you less effective as a leader. The other thing it does is during the game, all those formulas, percentages, they don't apply because the game is changing every minute. So you have to empower your manager and coaches to make the adjustments. So when you have somebody like Mike and evidently, you know, Mo, who saw him come up through the system, has understanding. So I think that Mike, I know they give him a lot of information, but I believe that Mike, I can see from the number of decisions he makes. You know, I see him running when other guys won't run. I think there's right now there's a balance there where there's still respect that goes downstairs.
You think the players know exactly when that stuff's coming down and it's
– Well, there's organizations that there's no doubt about it. Okay. And I think here –
That's a great advantage of being in other organizations, right?
You know, it's interesting. Mike and I were talking about this yesterday. We saw a game recently where the managers made the difference in the win and loss. And remember, I thought Mike Schilt showed what kind of manager he was.
Don Mattingly
is a heck of a manager, too. And it just came down to one play that his team made compared to the other. But
this is one time where you tried everything and the players executed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they don't always execute, as you well know. You put them in the right spot.
And it made me, and you know, he and I didn't even talk about it before then until we got together. And it made me think of you because I always admired the way you put players in a position to succeed. And I saw Mike Schilt, and he does it most nights. Well, he gets guys in a position to succeed.
He does it every night. Is that sometimes?
Sometimes they execute, sometimes they don't. But it's the right call. It's the right call. And I don't always see that every night in Major League Baseball. But I saw.
Well, why not? Because.
Do you really want me to get that one started?
No, because they have a script of how they play the game.
Mm-hmm.
They man's on second with nobody out. You can't give up on out to give him the third. You're trying to two-run homer. But before I forget this, it's very important, because I'm a big fan of Don Mattingly. Now, you take that situation in there where, you know, they're struggling, they're getting beaten. This guy's a winner. He's a champion player.
Mm-hmm.
And he proved with the Dodgers he's a champion manager.
Yeah.
For him to manage, because I was watching that. I watch him as much as I can, but I especially watch him in that series. When you have a team that's struggling, and you keep grinding every night to try to manage that game, and you don't get discouraged, and you don't get frustrated. That's the mark of a guy that's got some serious pluses on going for him. Give him a club that's good, he's going to win with it. Yeah.
Now, I'll give you an example. His shortstop got hit on the knee, and he couldn't play. And he said, oh, yeah, you have to play. I don't have anybody else, so you go to first base. You won't have to move over there. And he's got three or four shortstops anyway, so he just put a couple of shortstops around, moved them around. But he said, no, you're not leaving. I know you're hurting,
you're
playing first base for me. I don't have any choice. You have to play it.
Yeah. Let's take another break. We'll come back. The manager, Tony La Russa, is here. Mike Shannon is here. We're live at the ballpark on the Cardinals Radio Network. Winding up things here at the ballpark, the Hall of Fame manager, Tony La Russa, is here. Mike Shannon is here, and it's always great to have you here. We, you know, you still have status. I noticed tonight when they showed you in the booth and they rose up for you, just like Cardinal fans don't forget anything.
They were yelling, Albert, they were yelling, it's the owl, the owl. Who? Tony, who?
They haven't forgotten. This is a time, and as you know Cardinal history as well as anybody, and that's one of the things that I appreciated about you. You walked into a situation here where, okay, you had Red, you had Whitey, you had other people.
I have two questions for you, and they're both on that,
go
that
for
same
it.
Thing. One is Red Shaney. You never, ever let the opportunity go by that you didn't try to get something out of Red.
Every day in batting practice, they stand out left
field.
Every day
I watched you. Every day you did that. Because, I thought what Red was the best judge of talent that I've ever seen. You know, and he, not only could he judge talent, but he could project it. You know, and that's almost impossible. But he did that. I saw him do it day in and day out.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much I miss him.
Okay, and myself. The other question is, now your philosophies, they worked. Okay, they were different philosophies than the philosophies that the Cardinals had. But you.
In some important points, they were a lot of effort, eliminate mistakes, right? You guys did try not.
Well, you added to it.
You mixed and matched a little bit. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing on Red. I didn't know Red. I just knew who he was. Over 16 years, I'll give you make a point. Spring training, right? Now, we have a great spring train there. Here's Gibby. Here's Brock. Whoever the guys are, they show up. And the fans come down around 10 minutes to 1. They walk down, sign autograph. Fans go crazy. And they stay 5 minutes, and they leave, and they should. Red stays there for 9 innings every game. So the next day when you talk to him, you can talk to him about the kid that pitched that was trying to make the club, and Red will know it. And Red will always give you a solid answer. That's why I think I've told you this one. This is one of my favorite Red Shaney stories. And I just ran to Charlie Rutherford. We were in Minnesota playing the Red Sox, and I saw Charlie. He says, "Yeah, I remember my first game as a Cardinal manager in St. Petersburg, Florida. Charlie Rutherford was the manager, and he remembers that Red told me, "Hey, you got a good guy back there for your first game." I told Charlie that later on. But in that first game, I've told Mike this story.
Mike who?
You. Okay. I think I told you. If I haven't, it'd be crazy.
Well, I'll go here at the same time.
Tell me, if you haven't heard me tell you this.
I haven't heard.
Because
you.
This is, no, I haven't. Red is in, they're all there. Now it's, they mostly, but Red's there, standing behind me. My first game with the Cardinals. And I'm American League manager. They think this guy's got no clue, right? And Red's just there. There's a runner on first base in Al Lang Field with two outs. And the first baseman looks at me, and I go, "Boop, hold him on." Red Shaney stands behind me and says, "Tony." "Yeah, Red." He said, "You're going to play behind that guy at first base, aren't you?" I went, "Holy smokes."
You didn't say smokes, but we know where you're going with this.
Red Shaney said, "Wants me to play behind the runner. This is a man that's Hall of Famer, that's got the credentials of that. Man, what am I going to do? I swear on my children. What am I going to do? I should respect him. I just move him, but I don't want to move him." So in that moment, I do what I've done my whole career. I've never imagined Fred. I said, Red, I'm going to hold him on because I look at the gaps here, and there's big gaps. This guy runs pretty good. It's a right-hand hitter. I don't think he's going to hit that ball in the hole. I would rather hold the guy on, maybe cut off a run.
Sure.
And Red goes, "Oh?" I said, "Oh, you agree or you disagree?" I just said, "Oh." And that was my first game. And we talked about that for a that time.
I still have the picture in your office of Musial on one side of me and Shaney's on the other side. You have that picture also, don't you?
Sure do.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite and you mentioned it, Judge of Talent. I remember one spring training. I think you were there. And I said, "Red, what do we got this year?" He said, "Well, they drafted a guy they think is really good." So, and I know I said it to him. I said, "They drafted a guy they say really good. They think he's got a real future." So he said, "Get in the cart because you drive that golf cart." So we went on one of the backfields, and we're watching this guy. This goes on for like about 10 minutes. And I'm saying different things about, "Hey, this guy's this, these guys that." And you know how Red was short on words. He just looked at me and said, "Can't play." And that was it. And
you want to say on here who you're talking about? I got an idea. Maybe I know who it is.
Well, it was – I can't remember the guy's name because he was gone the next day.
Oh.
I mean, but he was he had that ability to see where a guy was going to be 2, 3, 4 years
we
from
used
now.
To, it used to be
because there was a certain guy we had here that had big talent, and I asked Red. He says, "Well, he ain't going to make it." I said, "Why? He's got the heart of a peanut."
Case closed.
When he was the manager, we'd have a player that wasn't. He wasn't going to be on our team. He wasn't our kind of teammate, And the next thing you know, he was gone. He just disappeared.
Yeah.
He was the best I've ever seen.
Best judge of people. And you know what I think well, I always look back at that, and I say best judge of people, and I think I would judge it by how many people showed up for his funeral.
Okay, so, yeah. So, just to show you, I mean, I love coming back here because you get refreshed on this. There's a good friend, you know, Steve Hodges from Country Music, from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Been a Cardinal fan. Yeah. So he was here this weekend with Catherine, his wife, and their son and daughter, and they came to the game. So we were at dinner last night, and they were both telling us about this. Their favorite picture that they have, their son is a huge Cardinal fan. He cries when the Cardinals lose.
So do I these days.
So he says, there's a picture that the kid took, probably maybe like 8 or 9 years old, with Albert Pujols. And he says, you know what else was so great about that picture? Right over the shoulder was Red leaning on the batting cage. He says the fact that they had Albert and Albert is the kid's and Steve's favorite picture.
Okay, let's talk about the people out of the game that you admired and brought in and took some one thing from their character that you tried to get across. Well, you can start with the general.
Well, General Moore?
Yeah.
No, he talked about the brotherhood of the military men. You know, he says, you know, you don't fight for your country. You fight for that guy in front.
Next to you.
Sure.
And then he kept saying, remember, in fact, there's a memorial thing, a speech that he said. He said, you know, if you're a leader, there's always something else you can do.
I understand.
He wrote a speech. He says, there's always something else you can do. In baseball, only in baseball, three strikes and you're out. But in life, three strikes, you're not out. So he always talked about perseverance. He also told me, by the way, he asked me how I slowed the game down. I said, you play the what-if game. What if Shannon gets on? What if Mike gets on? What if they don't? Who you bring in? What if? And by the time the game and it happens, you've already thought about it, so you can go boom. He said that's what he did in Battlefield. Before the battle, he would think, what if, what if, what if. So in the famous movie.
When they were soldiers.
They went on the top of the hill, him and Sergeant Major Plumlee. This is a true story. And he said, okay, tomorrow we're going to take the helicopters in, get 100 at a time, got to make 4 trips to have all 400 men. They're going to end up finding 2,000. He says, hey, sorry, what happens if before we get the full four trips and we're short and we get attacked? What if they decided right there that if that happened, their only chance was to counterattack, to try to.
That's what they did.
And that's what they did, and they blunted the force. So he says, I can give you a bunch of what-ifs, but there ain't none of my what-ifs compared to your what-if.
Yeah, right. Hey, that's really the difference, though. The philosophy is the mm-hmm. same.
Yeah.
Your philosophies were different than a lot of my philosophies.
Man, you second-guess me all the time. Yeah, they're real different.
No, but
that's why you love him.
No. You can't argue with your success, you know. I say, I don't know how you do it, but, you know, I can't argue with your success, plain and simple. But
he used to tell me all the time, he said, you know, it's amazing. You're right when you're wrong. I said, well, you mean it turned out right? I said, yeah, what do you think? He says, because you got really good players that made you look better than you are.
Hey, well, let me ask, how much fun did you have hanging out with him after games? And yeah. I bet of all the things you miss about writing a lineup card and doing this and doing the daily routine, I bet you miss him making suggestions, if not observations.
I didn't make a suggestion to him.
Oh,
are you kidding?
Wait a minute. Hold on
a
minute.
No, I might have said, why the hell did you do that? Or why did you do
that? No, let me tell you something. If what he was talking to me was a suggestion, it's like me saying it might rain. It's going to rain, and you keep doing that, and we're going to lose. That's how he would bring it.
But here's the deal. You know what? If he didn't, if he didn't care, you'd never talk to him.
No, I said it before. My first month here, two men saved my life. Well, maybe one of them a little later because everybody was on my case. We got so started. You know, Jack got on. He said, hey, this guy's all right. But Mike pulled me aside. He let me know what the birds and the bat was all about. And I explained. I said, man, I was born in Tampa. My dad's taking me to Lang Field. I says, Mike, I know I'm not an Oakland A. I know I'm a St. Louis Cardinal. I know the history. And I begin to learn. He says, the only people Mike likes are the ones that pull for the Cardinals.
No, that's not true. No,
it's not.
No.
You have some Cubs fans that you really like?
Well, we got a Cub fan.
He likes
right
Joe
now.
Madden. Joe Madden is
okay,
a good guy.
We got him
yeah.
on the show, but he's a Cardinal fan.
Yeah, right.
You know, he was born. He was a Musial fan. You know, yeah. he said he wanted to meet Stan Musial. It was like one day the big unit came to me and said, "Hey, I need to talk to this person."
Bob Gibson. Yeah.
Yeah. He wanted to talk to. But here's a guy that was at the top of his game, but where the heck does he go to get better, all right? I mean, yeah. who does he talk to, okay? He's the best there is in the game.
Right.
And so he's got to get somebody. He's got to find somebody else because he knows he can go up a step.
You know, I used to manage, and I found out when I went to Arizona, Randy Johnson talked to pitchers, and I went, wow.
You know, he didn't do that until when he was in San Francisco in his last year.
No, he retired now.
Right.
But he talked to the pitchers, and this is what he said. He said, every game that I started in the big leagues, I convinced myself it was the last game I was ever going to pitch in my life.
And he showed it every time.
So when you
time.
Do that.
Yeah.
So every game that I managed, I convinced myself it was either the seventh game of the World Series or the last game of my life.
Let me ask you this question. Where did you get the philosophy about spring training and the seventh game of the World Series?
Just because it was easy for me to feel urgency when I started, because if we didn't win some games, I was going to get fired. You know, I was, you know. But what you learn is that nowadays it's so easy for players to go less than what they're capable of because they got distractions. So the way this game is supposed to be played.
We had a game here last night that somebody got distracted. He lost his concentration.
He got picked off.
Oh, that one.
He just lost his concentration, yeah. plain and simple. So that points out to what the heck you're going
to
say.
So my point is this, and I think it's a good point. If you have a priority – I mean, there's a several priorities. You can't just have one or two. One of the priorities as a coaching staff is you have to create the urgency of the competition. You got to remind those guys, you know what you're a professional of? It's so simple. Your team against their team, you play nine innings, a winner and loser. You got to feel the urgency that you're going to compete as hard as you can, so you better win enough. And if you lose and you've done the best you can, you tip your cap. So I felt if you're going to preach urgency – you have to feel urgency. So I was in that dugout, you know, in the first inning, I played like, you know, I mean, the players knew that I was into it, and I wasn't faking anybody.
Where I played in 21 World Series games, okay, and I never thought about any of them in spring training, I can tell you that, but you did, and now I know why.
Well, I'll give you one more. This is famous. This is history. 2011, we're 10 and a half back with 32 to play, right? When the guys had the meeting, Carr said, "What are you going to tell them?" I said, "You tell them that we've worked so hard for 4.5 months. We've had a lot of injuries, and we've earned a lot of respect. And the way we've played the last 10 days, where all of a sudden we're discouraged because Milwaukee's hiding from us, we're going to spoil it all in the last 30 games. So we got to treat every game, what they've heard me say before, treat every game like it's the seventh game of the World Series or the last game of your life. Bring that urgency." And we won. We beat 3 out of 4 Pittsburgh. We swept Milwaukee. All of a sudden,
we felt
the urgency. You got to have the urgency. Like when I came in today, you know, I felt the urgency to conduct myself in a way that the fans will say, "Man, I'm glad he comes back." Not to manage, but just to come back and be with the Mics.
Shannon. Schilt, Claiborne, that's good enough for us tonight.
So hey, we're another one now. On now is a Schilt.
Schilt,
manager,
yes,
you know?
Yeah. You
we're,
know
we're
what?
Ganging up on you, man.
Exactly.
We're gonna get you. Sooner or later,
you don't have a choice after
a
while.
We're gonna turn.
We will
into
put
a
you
car.
In a headlock.
That's right.
That
Mike,
you can't
Mike
get out
a,
of.
Is another shite.
Thank
is
you
a,
very much.
Correct. It's like the triangle of Mike's.
You can't get away from us.
Did he tell you what I told him in spring training?
He says, if you don't get off to a good start, you're going to be
no,
watching,
I told him,
watching
I said,
from the stands.
I told him, I punched him. I said, "Hey, listen, you pay attention this year." He looked at me like, "What do you mean pay attention?" I said, "Pay attention because you're going to be managing this team for 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
We're out of time. He's Mike Shannon. I'm Mike Claiborne. We thank the Hall of Fame manager, yes, Tony LaRusso. Why don't
pleasure,
you change
sir.
Your name to Mike? And that would make it easier. We're out of time. We thank everybody for listening. This has been Live with Mike on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.